Hey, Eric. Hey, buddy. Can I come in?
Yeah, come on in, Chris. What's up?
Hey, you got yourself a little art project going on there. What you making?
Yeah, I'm making a paper boat.
Paper boat? Well, it's pretty childish, but why?
Well, the other day I found my galoshes in my rain suit, and I figured I'd float the boat down the street here because it's raining real bad.
Rain suit, huh?
Uh-huh.
That sounds pretty climactic there.
Well, you know, I can't get over my childhood.
Well, you know, that's a problem of a lot of people from our generation. And instead of trying to move forward, I think we should just always look back.
Of course, because the future sucks. I do have a fear, though. I really hope this boat doesn't get stuck and go directly into the only gutter in the street.
You know, they got a lot of things down there in those gutters. Some pretty scary things, I heard.
Yeah, I know. I heard that, too, and I really hope it's not too scary. What do you think they have in there?
Well, Eric, it's September.
Yeah?
It's raining. You're making a paper boat. You're going to float it down.
Oh, crap.
That means only one thing could be in those sewer drains, watching us, stalking us. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Absolutely. Chuds!
I am Dracula.
What's the boogeyman?
It's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Happy Halloween!
It's alive! It's alive!
It's alive! What am I going to be for Halloween?
Oh, Chris.
Stephen King's Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers was one of the best movies I've ever seen in a very long time. But that is for a different episode.
Wait, Stephen King was responsible for Chud?
No.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, boy?
No.
This episode, we are just going to be briefly talking about our experience watching It.
We've seen it.
There's going to be a lot of it in it in this podcast, and it's going to be really irritating. But
it's going to be good, though.
Just before you guys get panicky, we are not going to spoil it.
Hey, cut it out. Let's start at the beginning of our adventure on how we got to see
it
early.
It's going to be weird saying it.
There's only 90 more minutes of this.
Of what? It?
It.
I signed up to get screening tickets. Lo and behold, I didn't think I would get them. I got them. So on the 28th of
August,
which was a Monday, we saw It. It was the greatest Monday ever to be had.
Start your week off right with It. That's what I always say.
Absolutely.
Always. I was on lunch and you sent me a beautiful text saying I got screening tickets to see It. And then I said, it's a date. And it was another adventure in downtown Chicago. When they have screenings in Chicago, they always have to have it. And I was complaining about this the entire drive. They always have to have it downtown, in the heart of downtown, whether it's at the Navy Pier IMAX or the AMC right towards the lakefront.
Where are you going to have it, in Schaumburg?
They should have it at a suburb where there's free parking and there's a lot of parking and it's easy to get to. Instead,
oh my God, you sound like an old Jewish man.
Instead, you have to drive on a weekday in the middle of rush hour traffic.
Yeah, the whole ride, Chris was, this is stupid.
In the heart of downtown.
I'm not going to do this.
We were thinking about turning back three times.
Yeah, but hold on. Before we started our adventure, what happened literally 10 minutes before? There was a downpour.
Oh, yeah. It was an omen. It was perfect.
Is an omen a bad thing or a good thing or both?
It could be a good thing. In this case, it was.
So that's how the day started. It was really strange.
So we made our way downtown. The rain cleared up. It turned out to be a nice, beautiful evening. found some parking.
Which wasn't an easy thing because we first pulled into a parking lot that we thought was $15, but upon closer inspection, it was $34 or something.
Yeah, if you're not from Chicago and you're listening to this, it's much easier to take a bus or public transportation. If you want to park with a car, you better have some dollar signs, buddy, because you're going to be paying out the butt.
It's ridiculous. You'd literally have to sell your soul or take out a loan to park.
So anyway, we found some good parking. You use your eagle eyes, and we found a all-week special for $14.
$14 for the evening.
And that $14 parking in downtown Chicago is essentially almost free.
Yeah, we didn't even have to blow anybody. That's a crazy thing.
Well, we could have, but we didn't. So we went to the AMC.
River East or something?
River East. Yeah, something right like there. That. Right off of Michigan Avenue or State Street. The screening was at 7. We got there at about 5:30, and there was a very decent crowd lined up.
Right, so you go up an escalator or the stairs, but we're bummed, so we take the escalator. So you go up, and right when we go up, I just see all these people wrapped around the floor of whatever of this theater. And I looked at Chris, and I said, oh, shit. After we cleared the landing, it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. Like, Skull Island looked more intimidating because the line for Skull Island was
in Navy Pier.
Yeah, it was one long line.
That was ridiculous. In Navy Pier, they put us on the floor, up the stairs, through the fucking garden.
Through Skull Island, yeah.
Basically, yes.
But this one wasn't too bad. They had it wrapped around a bunch of times, so.
We noticed that the lady, WB lady, or whatever the hell she was called, came with the tickets, and she was giving every individual person their tickets. And when they do that, it makes me think that there's only a limited amount and they overbooked. And that's when the heart attack happened. But we got our tickets.
We weren't the last in line. There was a big amount of people that grew behind us as well. And we were on our way. And not only that, but we got a nice little voucher for free popcorn and soda. The first thing we did is we figured everybody would be getting their free popcorn and soda. So you said, you know, let's go get our seats really quick. And I was like, yes, I completely agree.
Because I am obsessed with finding the best seats in the house. I don't care what it is.
As we headed towards the theater, they had an awesome big It poster.
Yes!
With two Georgies holding red balloons.
There, in front of the poster, the cardboard cutout, there was two yellow rain-suited Georgies holding red balloons that they were just creepily
real people
standing there. Real people. It was so cool.
And we headed into the theater. We had big grins on our faces. We headed into the movie theater and pretty much every seat was taken.
Yeah, that fucking sucked. We sat on the second to the front row.
We sat in the front row first.
Yes. And then I had the brains to look behind me. And there, a guy next to behind us was sitting next to two empty seats. I says, hey, guy, you sitting over there? And he says, no, take a seat. So we hopped over the chairs and we sat two rows.
Slightly better seats.
Yeah. Two rows from the front. And we literally had to crane our necks. Which was an interesting experience because
it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
For a horror movie, no, because it really intensified the picture. They hid a deflated red balloon underneath one of the chairs in the theaters. And whoever was sitting under it received what, Chris?
Like a limited edition, like artsy
poster.
It poster, yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. That was sitting in front of the movie theater before we got there.
It's really cool to be in a theater with a bunch of
horror fans. Yeah,
just really giddy to see the movie. The last movie horror movie we've seen in theaters was Suspiria,
mm-hmm.
and kind of comparing the audiences was kind of like night and day.
Yeah, the Suspiria crowd was a bunch of geriatrics. The It crowd was just a bunch of
hyped up,
hot-blooded fans that were just dying to see awesome horror movies.
And if you were planning on using the free popcorn and soda voucher, you got closer to them.
Not by choice. Because, yeah, I had a moon and butt a lot of people in the face. That whole section was so close. It seemed like...
Yeah, it seemed much closer.
Right, so I had to pass a guy that had an umbrella, two backpacks. I'm pretty sure he had a time machine, a refrigerator.
Phone booth.
It was insane.
I got closer to some of those people.
I thought you fucking said fuck this, and I thought you like left.
No,
I literally started getting
a
panic attack. Like 2 minutes before the movie started, Chris shows up with all happy and shit with his fucking Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibb or whatever the hell you got.
Let me tell you something, guys. I got closer to those horror fans than I did to some of my ex-girlfriends.
I'm pretty sure you got a handjob on the way home. No,
thank you,
shit,
thank
that sounded
that.
Terrible.
That sounded thank like you I for that one.
I meant to say on the way to the seat. Oh, man.
But then we sat down. We were snuggled in tightly, surrounded by our horror fans. We had
indeed
our popcorn and soda, and they went ahead and they played. First of all, they played the Justice League trailer.
What yeah. a funeral.
So then that trailer ended, and then they began.
Yes, and it opened up with Stephen King talking about how amazing this movie was. Now, when you guys see this, by the time you listen to this podcast, the movie probably will not be out. Editing stress for Chris. Stephen King had a little bit of dribble on his right side of his cheek, screen right. He literally had a little bit of slob or leftover food.
I got very
food.
Close to Stephen King.
Right.
That was the closest I've ever got
right,
to
we
him.
Saw his nose hairs. It was really cool that Stephen King opened the movie, and he was just like, you guys are in for a treat. What a treat it was, Chris.
I was getting nervous at that point because of the fact that they literally buttered us up with free food. They had a raffle. They had Stephen King introducing the movie. I really thought that they were
and
doing
the, and
all
the
that
lady
because
came
it wouldn't
out,
be that good.
Right. The promo lady, he said, the hashtag is it movie.
Yeah.
Please hashtag. And they were really like
encouraging
stressing.
That you right. would, yeah, that you shared this with social media.
So for me, I was all like, that's awesome. Chris is like, wait a minute. He was analytically analyzing this movie might suck.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. But they began the movie and we seen it. And what'd you think of the It movie, Eric?
It was really good. I want to see it again just because the positions we were sitting in, I feel like a lot of things were taken away from us. It's going to be the scariest movie of 2017, hands down. There were two solid scenes that had my heart jumping. The only thing that really irritated me was that a lot of stuff is in the trailers. Now, that's a really amateur thing to do. I only watched, I think, two trailers for It, and what I saw really took it away. It really took it away from the experience of the movie. The things that I loved about the movie, Skarsgård's Jr., his performance as Pennywise.
Skarsgård?
I think that's his name, Skarsgård. He's like Scandinavian.
That sounds no awesome.
He's Scandinavian. He's like a Viking, so no one can pronounce his name. So the actor that plays Pennywise, I enjoyed his performance more than I enjoyed Tim Curry's performance as Pennywise. And now the reason why I say that, Tim Curry is excellent. Tim Curry did a great job. Skarsgård, I don't know. It's
that's him, his name now.
His performance was just demented. It was demented. And that's because the source material that he took from, the script that he was given, was far more superior than the original miniseries. Chris, what did you think about his Pennywise from 2017?
I compared it to Tim Curry's performance as Pennywise in the miniseries was akin to Jack Nicholson's Joker and Skarsgård's his Pennywise in the 2017 film was more like Heath Ledger's Joker.
Absolutely.
And by that I mean you could love both. They're both to be admired for different reasons. Skarsgård's played Pennywise a lot more straighter and scary.
And demented.
And demented and villainous. While you watch Tim Curry as Pennywise, and it looks like he's just having a blast, and you're having a blast with him. Every time he's on screen, you're having a great time. He draws all the attention to himself. He makes the miniseries. And this new film, Pennywise, yeah, he's much more darker and sinister and serious.
Let's just say scary. This. They actually show him eating kids. I mean, that just tells you that this movie is not messing around. And the one thing that they did, I thought it was a little bit heavy. That might just be my personal opinion on the whole nostalgia of the 80s. They really capitalized on the decade. 1988, 1989, the movie was drenched in 80s pop culture.
They laid the 80s on thick in the movie. And that's fine, but with so many television shows and movies doing that
recently.
Well,
I think Stranger Things, I mean, Wolfhard, the kid, he's in this movie from Stranger Things. And he's hilarious in It, by the way.
Yeah, he was a pretty different character.
Yeah, he was hilarious. Yeah. I think Stranger Things was the tip of the mountain for the 80s comeback.
Revival, yeah, if you will.
Yeah. I really hope that it really pushes through and it doesn't annoy critics. Because, I mean, it was. They referenced something very specific in the movie. They do it over and over again. It's funny, but it might have been, you know, beating a dead horse.
The movie was very funny. I didn't expect it to be as funny as it was. It reminded me a lot of almost like an R-rated Goonies.
That's perfect. It was an R-rated Goonie. The relationships between the Losers Club, we all can relate to them. Whoever's listening to this podcast, we were all part of the Losers Club, one way or another. And I found myself associating with one kid, and Chris found himself associated with another kid. I made a comment to Chris that I'm like, man, they really make a lot of mama jokes.
Yeah, a lot of sexual jokes. And you reminded me that. And you got to remember, like, when you were 10, 11 years old, like, that's basically all we talked how about. Everybody talked. Yeah.
That's so true. Now, me and Chris, we don't know the source material. We never read the book.
No. I'm not a big It fan. I'm not a big Stephen King fan, personally.
I mean, I think I mentioned this before, and I have read two books by Stephen King. I've read a couple of short stories. I mean, the Salem's Lot really got me good, but it didn't make me want to read more Stephen King. I read Cujo. It was like walking through a swamp. It was so hard to get into it. His short stories are excellent. I really liked Jerusalem's Lot. I tried to listen to the audiobook. I couldn't even get into that. It was just too much. So seeing the movie and liking it as much as we did, we can't really say that we knew where the source material was. So don't get offended.
I have read from people online that have read the book saying that it was this was a good adaption. They did a really great job. Of course, things are omitted. Some things are simplified. But they said that overall it was a great adaption. And I even read that Stephen King himself said that he was surprised.
Well, he opened up the... Yeah, he was surprised that it was how so good it was. Yeah. Right. And when Stephen King says that, I mean, his works have been adapted since the 70s.
Yeah.
And he signed his name away, so he didn't really have a say in the quality.
So overall, the movie ended. The crowd ate it up. Very rambunctious crowd, wouldn't you say? I mean, they laughed, they cheered, they screamed.
I mean, I don't know. I really hope that's just not because it was a screening, but the crowd was in it like they were watching the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Yeah, yeah.
They were so into it. I really hope that bleeds on to September 8th because their enthusiasm should really spread the whole clown phobia thing. Because I guarantee you, mark it here on It's Alive number 15, the clown phobia, the clown scares are going to increase.
That's true. I think Pennywise is going to... Well, he's already made his way back into a lot of horror pop culture recently. I mean, he's always kind of been a presence, but definitely since this movie was announced, he's become a bigger presence. And I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more Pennywise and clowns at Halloween. But, I mean, obviously a sequel is coming.
Well, we all know that. It's advertised. That. There's chapter two.
Chapter one, as it revealed itself, ended. And it ended to great applause. Everybody was very pleased with the film. Eric and I looked at each other. We were pretty happy with it. We said it was very good. We enjoyed it. Then we left the theater and we got some free swag.
There is nothing better than going to a free event, getting free corn, getting free soda, and then getting free swag.
First of all, the best one, we got an It t-shirt.
An exclusive 2017 It screening t-shirt.
And you know what else is crazy about that t-shirt?
What?
They handed it out to me, and it was in my size, Eric.
Oh, me too. I'm a medium as well.
I'm always an extra large wherever I go. It's always, oh, cool, a beach towel. Thanks. I got a medium t-shirt, and not only that, but we also got a really cool It enamel pin of a red balloon with the It logo on it.
A pin, of all things. And then the coolest thing we got was a VR box. So, Chris, what did you do?
Oh, man. So I don't know anything about VR. Besides,
you never experienced with it?
VR Troopers. VR, VR. Troopers. Three. The jewelry of the day. Troopers. Three. The jewelry of the day. I don't know anything about VR. Like, I've seen some of those headsets, I guess, the little cardboard headsets in stores and stuff, but I never really understood really what it was. So I was sitting there on Tuesday night, and I said, well, let me see this. So it was just a little cardboard box, it looked like, and there's simple directions. You basically just folded it in a way where it became, like, Splinter Cell goggles, essentially. And it just has these little plastic lenses in it. And then it tells you, it comes with like a little bungee cord almost, and it says just bungee in your phone and go to this website and select what you platform you're on, and then you could be in the It experience for It VR. So it's just a YouTube video, essentially. But then when you're on the YouTube video, it has a little goggle icon that you click on, and that starts the VR. And so I put it on the goggles, and I put the phone. I used Bree's phone because my phone is
awful. Doesn't your girlfriend have a...
She has a really nice iPhone and everything like that.
Pretty much a future phone.
Yeah, she has a future phone. So I was able to do, like, whatever the highest definition you can get on a phone or whatever. So I put it in there, and I strapped myself in, and I was ready to go.
You're ready to break the fourth wall.
Oh! So I put it in, and just by the credits, I was like, the future! Like, it's a 360-degree experience where it's about 4 minutes long, and it's a video being played, but it's 360 degrees. Wherever you look is what you're seeing. So you're experiencing things firsthand. So it starts off, late at night during a thunderstorm, and you're following Georgie's boat.
That's so cool.
And it's basically the first scene of the movie where you come face to face with Pennywise. And what's amazing is that you look away. You can look away from because it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's one of those deals where you're like looking around because it's scary. You take your eyes off it, but you realize your eyes aren't getting off of it. And I replayed it 3 or 4 times.
Wow.
I did the experience. And I noticed that, there's so much stuff that I missed, and there was so many little things that you can look at. I know there's a couple parts where you actually go into the sewer drain, and I was looking around the sewer drain, and I was looking up and down through the sewer drain, and there's so many different things you could see, and there's so many different scares. I mean, you were in the movie, and
wow.
Like I told you, it was like having a portable virtual Halloween Horror Nights.
I wrote an article last year after The Conjuring came out.
And you mentioned it on the podcast as well.
Right, and I said that the future of horror was going to be virtual reality.
Yeah.
And boom, here
we
are.
Definitely.
Wait, Chris. That box you can use for any 4D experience. Wait until you go into Pornhub.com.
Oh, my God.
You're going to die.
I just came right now.
You're going to die. That's awesome, though. I got to try that out, though. I mean,
I want you to try it out. What's funny is that we got to get a good phone because my phone's shit and your phone's all cracked.
Shut up. Don't remind me.
We have to find a good phone. But if,
we have to find a because we're a bunch of cheap asses. We can't find a real phone.
We gotta go to like the T-Mobile or Verizon store and ask if we could can we try out this phone and then and then bring out our cardboard
boxes.
Why
can't we just beat up a fucking kid? School's back in session. Why can't we just beat up a kid?
Yeah, we probably could go to the library, lost and found maybe. So if you guys like the It movie, if you don't like the It movie, man, check out the It experience. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that know more about this than I do.
Well, there's YouTube videos of people playing it, and it really captures the essence of the movie.
Yeah, there's nothing to play. It's literally a 360-degree video.
Right, you have no choice.
Yeah.
You're stuck in this. It's awesome.
The highlight of it was when you go down into the sewer drain, and I remember hearing Pennywise, and I was looking around the sewer drain, and I actually turned around in the room, and it had his silhouette at the end of the drain,
shit,
standing behind you with the balloons. And I remember I turned back around because I was like,
you're like, nope.
I was like, well, at 360 experience, I'm not going to look at the scary stuff.
This your boat? It's a nice boat. I'm Pennywise, the dancing clown. Now we aren't strangers, are we? Aren't you gonna come say hello?
See, that's awesome. And that's the future of horror. There's no reason for us to sit in 2017, 2018, 2020 and have the same experience that we did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It should be pushed because horror movies are the money makers.
We got this new Halloween movie coming out. Imagine a VR experience of strolling the sidewalk of Haddonfield late at night.
And Myers
looking for Michael. I mean, how awesome would that be? Imagine the nightmare sequences you could experience with Freddy Krueger.
Oh my God, they could do so many trippy, hallucinogenic nightmare sequences with Freddy. Oh man, the possibilities are endless.
If you'll come with me, you'll float
So overall, Eric, I would say that our It experience, from the journey getting there to seeing the film to the awesome free stuff we got afterwards, all in all, it was an excellent experience.
I would agree, Chris. It's a perfect experience. I really really want to see it again.
Yes.
Now, I'm curious if our desire to see it twice is because of the seating situation.
I want to see it for Pennywise again. And I knew that right after seeing it on Tuesday or so. I said, I want to see it again because I want to see his. I just want to see his performance again.
Absolutely.
And I want to take Brie and I want to see her reaction.
Why do you want to see her reaction? This is awesome, by the way.
She's absolutely terrified of clowns.
She has a clown phobia, an actual clown phobia.
Oh, an extreme. Yeah, yeah, it's not like, oh, they're kind of scary, haha.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's like a deep... But
it's the actual clinical phobia, whatever it's called.
And what's so weird is that she bought the book a few months ago.
She tried to face her fears.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's like, I'm going to face my fears. And she bought the book. I said, you know, it's about like a killer clown, basically. And she was like, yeah, I know, I want to face my fears. And I was like, well, we're going to see the new movie when it comes out then. And, you know, it was kind of like, yeah, sure. But it's like, no, seriously, like, we have to see it. I think it's, if you're terrified of clowns, it's obviously going to push buttons with you, but it's more than that.
But the movie with the Losers Club, with people that are afraid of clowns and people that are afraid of just scary things in general, the one thing that really felt heavy, and it was a great feeling, is these group of friends fighting back. And that was something special. It's the resistance against evil and the power of friendship.
So, Eric, concluding our review here of It, what would you give it? What would you give It out of 5 bags of popcorn?
I would give it a 3 out of 5. And the reason why I would dock some points is from the first experience was the heavy 80s nostalgia really irked me. Some of the humor I felt was too inappropriate just to please the audience.
What's weird is that when we talked about it after we seen it, we gave it the exact same rating. I as well, 3 out of 5. My only gripes would probably be the same thing, but it's just a personal preference. I feel like I love the 80s. It was a great decade. You shouldn't call as much attention to a time period unless that's really has to do with your movie.
It's a great movie. I'm going to possibly see it more than twice.
I think I'm going to go see it one more time in theaters. Right. Stephen King's It, Chapter 1, opens up
September 8th.
You look like a nice boy. I bet you have a lot of friends. Do you want a balloon, Georgie?
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers.
Georgie, meet Pennywise. Now we aren't strangers, are we? Here.
So a couple weeks ago, I was doing a classic non-sexual horny eBay bidding. Have you ever done that before?
Oh, God. It's got me in so much trouble.
You basically just go on the eBay, and you just start typing in things you remotely have interest in, and if something's in your budget, you just bid.
Not even in your budget. You just blindly bid. I've bid on things that were in the couple thousands of dollars.
You know, it was late at night, and I just kind of bidded on a Max FX Freddy Krueger action figure.
I'm not going to lie, I've never heard of that.
MIB, that's Mint in Box for you toy collectors out there.
I'd never heard of this, by the way.
Yeah, well, I won it, and I got it in the mail last week or so. Max FX is this special effects doll, essentially. It looks like a Ken doll or a G.I. Joe doll, and he comes with a Freddy Krueger costume, and you,
what the hell
it was, and you dress him up and you have yourself a Freddy Krueger figure. And I thought, this is the weirdest fucking thing.
Does it come with like cloth clothes or is
imagine a Ken doll,
yeah,
dressed
well
in,
I had G.I. Joe, like 12 inch G.I. Joes as a kid.
Yeah, imagine that dressed in regular clothing.
Yeah,
and he comes with legitimate Freddy Krueger costume. He comes with Freddy Krueger boots, Freddy's glove, a burnt hand,
an
actual Freddy Krueger mask that you put on over
him.
No
way!
And a hat, and he becomes Freddy Krueger. So I was like, this is the weirdest and awesome. I've seen this action figure at various comic book conventions throughout the years, but I never really looked into it. So I got it. I took my Max FX out of the package. It was already open.
Oh, that kills me. And
I dressed him up as Freddy Krueger. I felt like a fucking idiot in my living room at like 1 a.m. as my girlfriend is lonely on a bed. I'm sitting in a living room undressing a Ken doll
as the Batman 89 soundtrack plays.
Yeah, squeezing on Freddy Krueger pants, whatever. I looked up the history of this action figure because I looked at the back of the box and it had Freddy Krueger and it had a Boris Karloff looking Frankenstein's monster. It had a really awesome-looking Dracula, and it had a Xenomorph. I had to look up more information about this action figure, and I found out that people have, like, web shows on YouTube where they review the figure, go into the history of the figure, and there's even a super interesting YouTube interview with a guy who pitched and created this action figure.
No way, what the fuck?
And the history of this toy is super interesting, and I just wanted to give, like, a shitty, quick...
This, you got me at the edge of my seat, so do tell.
Lights, camera, action! There's a man called Max, he's in the special effects, special effects. Hey, Fred, thought you were dead, put your face on Jason. Special effects, special effects. Going werewolf to the caveman. Looks so fine like Frankenstein. Special effects, special effects. Dracula, spectacular. Coming soon, creature from the Black Lagoon. Watch out, my man coming out of your tummy. Yuck, the alien. Get your hands on the man called Max. He's got special effects, special effects. Max, FX costumes, figures, and special FX theater, each sold separately. New from Matchbox.
So, Max FX was created in the late 80s, and it was this man had this idea. He took an old G.I. Joe action figure, and he grew up with the old Universal Monster movies, and it scared the crap out of him when he was a kid. So his idea was that Max FX, who at the time was called Max Miracle, he was a crime-fighting superhero.
So made up, though.
Slash special effects artist who would take on the powers of the monsters that he would create.
That's so ridiculous. It is. That's ridiculous. Awesome, though.
So it immediately reminded me of Captain Action, who is, I believe, was popular like in the 70s. Yes. And he was just a generic...
My father had some.
Yeah, he was just a generic action figure dude, and you would buy like a Spider-Man or a Batman and dress him up.
Yeah.
So Max Miracle was essentially the same thing, and you would get an outfit, whatever monster that they would come out with. And he created the creature from the Black Lagoon, the Mummy, Dracula, Frankenstein, and they would come in their own VHS boxes. That's how you would buy the outfit. And if you find this YouTube video, he has all the prototypes and everything, so you could see everything. He has Jason Voorhees. So it would say, like, Max Miracle stars as Jason, and that's how the outfit would come in these VHS boxes.
That's freaking awesome.
He had a buddy that worked at Matchbox. That said,
oh, Matchbox?
Matchbox.
The cars. No,
little car, toy cars, die-cast vehicles.
Yes.
They said, oh, why don't you pitch it to them? Because he, I guess, had connections with them. So he pitched it to Matchbox. Matchbox said, oh, this is an excellent idea. We love it. And what's funny about this was that he had Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger. He had mock-ups made. And they looked at Freddy Krueger and they said, who's Freddy Krueger? They had no idea. This was 1989, I believe.
So there was multiple sequels already done.
Yeah, and they said they didn't know who Freddy Krueger was. So they said, you know what? We're going to go ahead with Frankenstein. We're going to go ahead with Dracula, the Mummy, the generic type monsters. These weren't official Universal likenesses. And we're going to go with that. And we're going to produce your character. And we're going to call it Max FX, which he said was the only improvement on the toy line since he pitched it. And I guess they had a marketing show. And they had the Max FX action figure lineup of all the horror characters, and they said that when they were showing off this new toy line idea, every single person at this marketing convention said, "Where's Freddy Krueger? Like, this is great. This is great, but these are horror action figures, so why isn't Freddy your main guy?" Because this was the height of Freddy mania. So Matchbox basically said, "Oh shit, this Freddy Krueger character is super popular."
In 1989,
it shows you Matchbox is a little behind.
A wake-up call.
That's why everybody turns to Hot Wheels instead of Matchbox. The first thing they did is they went ahead and they made the talking Freddy Krueger doll that everybody knows.
Yes,
that's what they released. They said Freddy Krueger's super popular. Before we tie it in with our Max FX character, why don't we release a giant talking Freddy Krueger doll to the public? And they did that. And that's when parents of every child wrote in and said that what they did was absolutely terrible. The fact that you're marketing a child killer to children. So with that backlash of that Freddy Krueger doll, they pulled a lot of them from the shelves. And that meant that their Max FX line was somewhat doomed because they put all their money in with Freddy. So what they did is they released the Max FX action figure with the Freddy Krueger clothes. And it didn't sell very well because everybody was against Freddy Krueger. they were kind of
all the moms. Yeah, that's where the dollars. The kids are not buying it. The parents are buying it.
Parents are buying it.
And that's what Max. It sounds like that's what Max FX forgot about.
Yeah, and so pretty much you said that it pretty much immediately went to the clearance aisle.
And that's when 2017 becomes valuable.
Yeah, and they canceled the line. They canceled it. So it started with Freddy, and it ended with Freddy. We did not get even what they promised on the back of the box. We didn't get the awesome Xenomorph or Frankenstein or Dracula. All we got was Freddy Krueger. So that.
But we can see this somewhere, right?
You could see it anywhere. I mean, there's some excellent websites dedicated to this character, including early production art and where the product line was going to go. And they were there were sketches of the creature from the Black Lagoon was the next character they were going to do, like a really awesome Wolfman. The whole point of this action figure was, as the creator states, he said that he was terrified of these monsters when he was a kid. And the point of this action figure was to show kids that it's all just makeup and special effects.
Yeah.
That's nothing to be really scared of. But unfortunately, they seen Freddy Krueger, they seen dollar signs, parents took out their pitchforks and damned Freddy Krueger. And that was the beginning and the end of the Max FX action figure line, which...
But you got one.
I got one. If you're a horror fan, it's the coolest little action figure line, like, ever. And you wish that they would have went ahead and made these. Definitely just... Google Max FX action figure. Check out the history of this toy. If you're a horror fan and if you're a horror collector, you like all the collectibles and stuff like that. It's really awesome to see.
Toys R Us has the Big Bird Halloween costume and the Yoda Halloween costume for trick-or-treating.
So, Eric, we had a pretty good episode. Killer clowns and awesome canceled horror toys.
Absolutely. And you really make me want to search eBay and buy one of these Max FX figures.
They don't go for too much. You can get one in the package like for probably shipped for like $40-45.
You know what? That's worth the investment.
Absolutely. I think you should buy one, and I think that maybe we should have some playtime. I bring over my Freddy. You bring over your Freddy.
I got some cardboard boxes. We can build a fucking haunted set. We can just do battle. You know, I got some loose figures we can join in and stuff. Dude, oh my it'd be God. Awesome. Please.
We got to end this fucking podcast so we can do that.
Please.
I got it. Some of that booberry that you bought. We can yes. eat some booberry and we can play with our Freddy dolls.
Absolutely. And with all that booberry in our belly, we'll float too.
I tell you, they got to put something in that booberry to make you float. You're definitely right. Because after eating a bowl of that stuff, I feel like a fucking cloud. Because the Halloween season is upon us. You found all that wonderful cereal, which means we got to do some hunting, man.
Chris... This Halloween season is going to be the apex of all Halloween.
Halloween is much more than just friggin' monster cereal.
Well, I'm pretty sure a couple weeks ago I wrote an article on 26-year-old box of cereal that I bought. So I took that as a stab. But you know what, Chris? I agree with you. We're going to try some things new. I really want to punch this Halloween in the fucking face. And yeah. We're going to really get into it. I can't wait. I can't wait. We're going to go to the haunted houses, the pumpkin fairs. Pumpkin fairs, really?
Yes, pumpkin fairs.
Pumpkin fairs? Did I really just say pumpkin fairs?
Pumpkin fairs. one thing is for sure, where you find Halloween, you'll find the It's Alive podcast. So what are your plans for the rest of this evening, Eric? You have a whole fucking bottle of wine in you.
It's true. I do have a whole bottle of wine. And the wine itself is really good. I saw that there, in Chicago downtown, there's going to be some really cool ghost tours. And I think me and you should hit that up. And we should grow some balls and try to actually do a live broadcast.
Yes, I'd love to do a ghost tour.
That would be freaking awesome.
Notice I didn't say live broadcast.
I know, it's really intimidating. I want your girlfriend to be part of one of these casts because I want her true fear to bleed onto the cast. Because she, like you said, is a Disney character.
She is a Disney character.
Doing a ghost tour or something, her perspective will be awesome for recording.
Yeah, definitely. Every Halloween always brings something great. All right, folks, we're wrapping it up here on the It's Alive podcast. As always, you can check us out at itsalivepodcast.com, where we have all the links to our various social media endeavors.
Once again, guys, thank you so much for listening. And until next time... This has been It's Alive Podcast, episode 15, and we hope you'll float too.